Mark Sutton's your host on Overnights this morning, and it's time for DVD reviews with Eddie Ivamy. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Mark.
It's fair to say, I think, that films made from video games haven't exactly covered themselves in glory over the years. So, I remember I watched the Mario Brothers film many years ago with Bob Hoskins. I think I saw one of the Mortal Kombat films. I think I saw a Street Fighter film.
There has been a large number, Mark, and as you say, there's a bit of a stigma going around for the video game to movies that have come out over the last 20, 30 years, and for good reason. So there's been, as you mentioned, those type of films. Probably the most infamous is Super Mario Brothers, which has a very big reputation around the traps for one of the worst films going around, which is a bit unfortunate. We've had Dead or Alive. Probably the most successful is Resident Evil.
They're up to about Resident Evil 42 now or something, aren't they?
The last one's out in January next year, so all the fans of Resident Evil can get excited. But that has probably been one of the video game to movie franchises that has worked. And I'm not saying they're good films, but they've found an audience. But there's been many that haven't. And I think the studios in Hollywood are doing more and more video game to movie adaptations. This year we've got Assassin's Creed out around Boxing Day with Michael Fassbender.
That's one of the things about these movies, is they often get some pretty good actors involved. You know, obviously Bob Hoskins was in the Mario Brothers one, and Raul Julia was in the Street Fighter one, and as you say, Fassbender's in this one. So they're not necessarily being made to be B-grade movies, at least they're not setting out to be B-grade movies.
No, unless it's a Uwe Boll movie who's done all types of terrible films and some of them video game adaptations. A lot of them are set up to be tentpole pitches, big event pitches, and like Warcraft here, a franchise starter. And Assassin's Creed coming out at the end of the year is a huge film. They're very much looking forward to that to be a very big hit. And directed by an Australian director there, Justin Kurzel. I really hope it's a big success, and I think that could be the best video game to movie coming out by the looks of it. Fingers crossed. Sam Raimi is looking to adapt The Last of Us video game. He's a director who gave us Evil Dead, the Spider-Man films. So let's hope again that that one can be a good one. I think it will be. Look, Warcraft attracted quite a good cast and a director. The director, Duncan Jones, made Moon, which fans would love. Yeah, fantastic film. He also did Source Code, which was great, with Jake Gyllenhaal. And he's a big fan of Warcraft. I guess the first thing we should probably say as well, Mark, is that Warcraft, for those that may not know about it, is a huge video game. Millions upon millions of subscribers play it on the PC. It's been around for a number of years. All types of things have come from Warcraft, books, games, lots of lore around the world. People just love the whole universe of it, very much like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter in a lot of ways. Maybe not as mainstream as that because it has the video game stigma attached to it, but Warcraft really does have a huge following, and there was many, many people around the world that were looking forward to this film, especially once Duncan Jones got involved. The hype grew for it, and for good reason. It really does have a universe that could be tapped into in lots of different ways, very much again in that Lord of the Rings style of orcs and wizards and soldiers and all types of creatures. Unfortunately, the video game curse continues.
Well, I remember when the game was at its height of popularity. Now, I have to admit, I'm not really a video game person, but I was living with a couple of housemates in 2005 when the game dropped, and they were spending, honestly, 18 hours a day playing Warcraft. They would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning because there were people in the United States who were playing and they wanted to do something with them online and things like that. The game was absolutely huge. And I wonder if, you know, the bubble burst with Warcraft. Is it as popular as it was back then?
It's certainly not as popular as it once was, Mark. From subscribing numbers, you'd say it's down quite a bit. There's still a large dedicated fan base that do play it, but definitely not as many as it was at its peak. And there's a very interesting documentary that came out maybe, 5 or 6 years ago. I believe from memory it's called Wired In or Tapped In or something around those lines, and that was about World of Warcraft players. And if people are wondering what Warcraft's all about, I recommend tracking down that documentary. It offers a very big insight into why they find the game an attractive thing. As you say, to spend 18 hours or so virtually more than half their day on it sometimes and literally live their lives around it. So it shows you a little bit about why it's such a thing. It's not just a casual game that people play for an hour here or there. It really is a livelihood to some of these people, and there are people that make a living from it. And again, it probably extends to the fact that it's such a loaded universe of all these characters and creatures and lore behind all these different people in this universe that gets people sucked in. And I really do believe that Jones and his team here with the film struggled to tap into that correctly. It would be very hard to do correctly because there's so many things going on, and the actual story in the film here in Warcraft is very poor. And you don't really, for an outsider like me, I've never played the game, I know little bits about it, but I didn't really get why it was so interesting. It didn't all of a sudden draw you in and think, hey, I want to go try Warcraft now or find out more about this. It just didn't capture that for whatever reason.
You know, ordinarily when you do a DVD review with us on this show, we'd get you to explain the plot. But I almost wonder if there's any point with this film. It's just a bunch of green people and a bunch of people in helmets fighting for a few hours, basically.
Yeah, very basically it is. This orc horde travel through a magical portal to this land called Azeroth, which is a peaceful land, and all of a sudden they're wondering why these orcs are coming through this magical portal and what's going to happen to their peaceful land, and there's this big setup for a battle between humans and wizards and orcs, and it actually never really even culminates into a great battle. You look at a film like Lord of the Rings or something, these huge battles they had at Helm's Deep and things that are very memorable. Warcraft doesn't even hit that right, unfortunately, so they're obviously trying to fly the line between creating the characters, setting all that up and having some battles that'll keep everyone happy. But at the end of the day, it's a bit of a mishmash of all these things and it's very hard to care about. Whereas a film, once again referring to Lord of the Rings, you cared about the characters and what happened from the very first film and you were into it, what was going on. It had a very streamlined story about destroying this evil ring, and Warcraft just gets lost in a little bit of all this magical mumbo-jumbo, and we don't even really know what happened to these orcs' land who lived in a different universe and it went all haywire, and now they want to take over Azeroth. We don't fully understand what happened there either, other than some dark magic, but it's a very odd story and almost, as you say, pointless to talk about in many ways.
I suppose they're assuming that the fan base of the game is large enough that they're going to already understand the world and the story to a certain degree. So they didn't really do a lot for people like us who don't play the game and don't understand the world to bring us in. And I'm not a fan of orcs at the best of time. I'm talking movies involving orcs and stuff like that. It's not really my genre. But as you say, it showed so starkly the difference between when a really good filmmaker and has a good story, like in Lord of the Rings, and something like this, because even though ordinarily I would say, well, they sound a bit similar. They're both about orcs and humans fighting each other. Well, hey, I don't really care. But the quality of Lord of the Rings compared to this is huge.
Oh, it's immense. And it's funny because, as we say, this is a big film, good director, huge budget, big fan base, just like Lord of the Rings. But for whatever reason, it doesn't even come close to a film like that. And it could be attributed to a number of reasons. And I think another thing about it is the film looks quite odd, even though it's been, you know, money spent everywhere for CGI and special effects and things like that. None of that actually even really looks that good. It doesn't even feel like a prestige picture, which is what this film was really coming out to do, set up a franchise and get people into it, and every year we'll have a new Warcraft. How exciting is that?
But, oh, can't wait.
And look, I wanted to mention as well, Mark, it's pretty incredible with what happened to this film box office-wise. It was a pretty big dud almost everywhere, despite the fact it has players all around the world. But in China, it was a huge hit. So China has become more and more of a huge market for Hollywood, and China actually saved Warcraft from being one of probably the biggest bombs of all time in a lot of ways. It made just incredible amounts of money over there, and they're very lucky that they had China to back it in, because if it wasn't for that, this really would have been not just one of this year's biggest duds, but one of the biggest duds in a number of years, which is, again, really surprising when you consider this is a film with a fan base from young people to old people of all shapes and sizes all around the world. And I did find it interesting, though, as well, that on IMDb, which is usually a pretty, I guess, good judgment on what people think, it's got quite a good rating. It's about a 7.2 at the moment, which is not bad at all. Anything over a 7 on IMDb is quite good. So maybe there are a lot of fans that enjoyed it. But as you say, the popularity of the game may have waned quite a bit, that the studio probably overestimated the amount of people that were really willing to go out and pay for this.
And I think that's so interesting, though, that it changes the way studios will market films and even make films if they know that they can make the money in China or somewhere else if they're not necessarily relying on the domestic market or even the English-speaking market to have a hit, even though it's an English-speaking film, then that really changes the game.
I think more and more, Mark, will find that studios do that, try to, whether it's get some cast members from China or that market or play some action in the Chinese landscapes. A lot of films these days have even 10-minute segments where they end up in China or somewhere around there that obviously appeals to that audience. So studios will more and more do that, and I wouldn't even be surprised if there is another film in this franchise that it's really built around that market even more so, because it was just such a big hit over there. They seem to love it. And whereas other markets probably thought, hey, this is just an old cheapo version of Lord of the Rings. We didn't like it. So I think it'll be very interesting to see how that transpires over the next few years. I do think it'll become a more and more prevalent thing in all types of films, not just your Warcrafts, but any type of Hollywood film, comedies, family films, because it's becoming just that big over there. It may eventually even overtake Hollywood, which is pretty incredible to say. When you look back even 5 or so years, it just wouldn't have been the case.
Yeah, well, look, you know, increased diversity and telling different kinds of stories from the usual Hollywood stuff is a good thing, but I just hope that the movies get a little bit more interesting than Warcraft.
Absolutely. I found it very sad for Duncan Jones. I'm a big fan of his. I thought it was a really big step back for him. What he showed with Moon was a fantastic vision as a director, and Source Code was a lot of fun. And I was very pleased to read just within the last few weeks that his next film will be a film called Mute, which is a somewhat follow-up to Moon. I don't believe it's a direct sequel or anything like that, but set in that same type of universe. And I think that'll be good to get him back to that original sci-fi space, because he seems to really be a visionary director in that space. And I really hope he can continue on with the promise he showed with Moon, because this was, as I said, a step back. And for everyone involved, it was a bit of a non-event, and it did have some really good cast members. There's Australia's Travis Fimmel, Paula Patton, Ben Foster, Dominic Cooper, Toby Kebbell. They're all very good actors, and not one of them seems to be having a really good time here, unfortunately, even though I believe quite a number of the cast members are big fans of the game as well. So they wanted to do it proud, I'm sure, but it just didn't come off, unfortunately, Mark.
When a film is just so CGI like this, it sort of almost doesn't matter whether you've got good actors or not, because you can't tell if they're acting well or acting poorly. They're just basically a computer game.
Yeah, and it does. It feels like a computer game. It really, really does. And I don't know if it's just me, but over the last couple of years in particular, it feels to me as though CGI has almost taken a step backwards, even though they've had many advancements with certain aspects of it. It does feel like they're trying to make them look like a video game, and there needs to be a bit of a gap between that. I think video games have their place, and then movies have their other place, and they shouldn't really intermingle too much. And this film really does, for a film that costs so much to make, you do wonder how the effects back 5 or 6 years ago to me almost seemed better. And there was a lot of performance capture here as well, I think, with a couple of the characters. But even that, sometimes it just feels a bit odd. You'd rather just have a character be a computer character rather than an actor trying to be a computer character that's an orc or something like that. Sometimes it just really doesn't work. And this film really does look odd. I don't think they nailed it correctly, unfortunately. It's not easy to do, trying to create a universe from all these computer effects and imagining all that and paying fan service to the games universe, but to me it didn't really come across at all.
All right, well, the film is Warcraft. It's directed by Duncan Jones, who is David Bowie's son and is usually a very good filmmaker. So maybe if you're a fan of the game, you might enjoy it, but I don't think it's a stirring recommendation from either Eddie or I. Mark Sutton's your host today on Overnights. Let's turn to our next film. Now, we've been talking about fantasy and Warcraft. One of the most successful fantasies of the last few years is, of course, Game of Thrones, a runaway smash hit for HBO. And one of the runaway smash hit stars from the show, Emilia Clarke, who plays Daenerys Targaryen. And even though the show's been going for a long time, despite her popularity on the show, she hasn't really had a lot of huge roles in movies and things so far, although perhaps we can expect more. But her first, I suppose, big role is in this movie called Me Before You. What can you tell us about it?
Me Before You, Mark, is the year's wannabe breakout romantic hit. So each year we get a couple of these, it feels like, and Me Before You is our ghost this year. So it's based on Jojo Moyes' very popular novel of the same name, which was a huge hit around the world. And the film, must be said, made quite a bit of money, so the fans obviously got out there and supported the film when it came out. And it does star Emilia Clarke. And also, before we go any further, it has another Game of Thrones member, Charles Dance, who was known for the Lannister's father there. He's in it as well. So it was a bit funny for me seeing those two in a film together because they're obviously enemies in the show and they appear as friends in this film. So it's a bit of a side note, but I did get a bit of a kick out of it seeing them two together.
It's funny when there's a TV show that gets a lot of critical acclaim. Around that time, you start seeing movies that are full of the cast members from the TV shows because obviously the casting directors and the directors have watched the show, loved it, and then said, oh, let's get all the people from the show in. I remember Arrested Development had that for a while. Every comedy that was coming out after Arrested Development had half the cast of Arrested Development in it.
No, it's certainly right, and it's funny how it works out, whether it's by chance or by choice. I would probably suggest it's more that people by choice do it, but yeah, look, Emilia Clarke's great in Game of Thrones. Her character's probably getting a little bit frustrating to me, actually, after six or so seasons. But
she's just been sitting around forever.
I know. Can we just get on with it already and fly your dragons over and do your thing? But look, she's an interesting actress. She really did become such a huge deal after season one of Game of Thrones and has continued to be that. And the only films I can really recall her from other than this one were Dom Hemingway with Jude Law, which was a bit of a non-event film, and also the absolutely terrible Terminator Genesis, where she played, I believe it was Sarah Connor from memory, I'm trying to think back, a young Sarah Connor or something there, but she was quite bad in that as well. And Me Before You gives her this role. She plays a lady called Lou Clarke. She's a very much a happy-go-lucky lady living a life in a small town. Doesn't have much going for her in regards to a career and things like that, and she eventually takes up a job of looking after a gentleman who's been paralysed, who's been played by Sam Claflin from Love, Rosie and the Hunger Games franchise. He plays a character called Will Traynor, who was, yeah, tragically paralysed in an accident and pretty much has given up on life, and Lou gets a job of being, I guess you'd call it his best friend, really, someone there to hang around with him, stay, keep him company during the day, have a bit of fun here and there, but he doesn't really want a bar of it. He's giving up on life in a lot of ways and doesn't want to live his life bound to a wheelchair or a bed that he gets bound to as well. So there's this happy-go-lucky character versus this guy that literally cannot see any rainbow at the end of the journey. And these two get flung together and wouldn't you know it, Mark, they start to fall in love.
There you have it. I didn't see that coming at all.
No, you would absolutely not predict it at all, would you?
No.
And look, before we go any further as well, I have to say, as I started this film, I could not help but be brought back to the old, not the old film, but a film from a few years ago is called The Untouchables.
The French film?
French film, yeah. It reminded me so much of that film. It was really kind of odd, actually. I don't know if anyone else got the vibe from it, but and I don't even know when JoJo Moyes started writing this book, but to me it feels like she may have watched The Untouchables and said, hey, I can make a romantic comedy out of this one. It just felt a bit like that. The Untouchables was obviously a huge hit and a really lovely film, actually, between the relationship between the Sudanese refugee or an African refugee in France looking after a man who was once rich bound to a wheelchair now. And this film really did remind me a lot of that kind of oddball pairing of these two people that are polar opposites and they become really close friends and help each other through their various things that they're going through. And yeah, I don't know if anyone else felt like that, but I certainly did, and it did not really achieve the success that The Untouchables got from creating a relationship between these two mismatched characters.
Now, last week we were talking about a film called Sea of Trees, and one of the things we talked about is that it dealt with a very serious issue, which in the case of Sea of Trees was suicide, and I think we both felt that it didn't really deal with it with enough seriousness or enough care, because you've got to be very careful when you're dealing with things like this, especially because you know people could be watching it who are in similar situations. And I felt like Me Before You was a little bit similar in terms of the way it dealt with depression and disabilities. Yep. and euthanasia. The message of the film is potentially a very problematic one, which is this guy feels that he's become a burden because of his disability and therefore wants to die.
Yeah, I would agree 100%, Mark. And I've read a few comments from people around the traps on the internet after I watched this film that felt very much the same, that it actually dealt with some very serious things in a throwaway fashion and probably made light of it even in some ways. And I would agree with what you've said there. We don't get a whole lot of background on Sam Claflin's character before he was injured, but we do know that he was obviously doing quite well, had a very pretty girlfriend, a good job. But we're thrown into this world where he's bound to this life now as a paralysed person, and all of a sudden he's telling everyone he wants to end his life. And then Lou Clarke, who just absolutely loves life, wants to show him all the things that he could be missing out on and why he should stay alive. There's all these things like that. And as well, Emilia Clarke's character, this Lou Clark, I found it so frustrating, and I hope it's not just because I'm a grumpy 25-year-old or something like that, but she was so over the top. It felt unrealistic. So you've got an unrealistic character here who's always smiling and carrying on a bit almost ADHD-like with all these things that she's up to, and then you've got this depressed character, and it really doesn't deal with either or, to me, in a fashion that feels believable or even half relatable in a lot of ways. It feels very far removed from reality, which for films like this, I think always hurts their chances to actually succeed. I definitely wasn't emotionally invested in the film, and I thought, yeah, its dealings with very serious topics were actually quite poor.
This film is called Me Before You, and I apologise that in the 2 weeks I've been on this show, Eddie and I haven't really been able to find a film that we could truly recommend to everyone.
Mark, I promise I did. I went and watched quite a number of films this week, and each one I sadly thought about the same of. And look, going back to Warcraft, it's not as bad as some people said, but definitely not good. And Me Before You, I'm sure there'll be people out there that really enjoy it, but there'll be those, like probably myself and you, Mark, that probably don't enjoy it. And I watched this one with my wife. She was looking forward to me to hiring this one out, and even she wasn't really getting into it, which is a bit of a shame because she's the target audience in a lot of ways. So I don't think it's a great film, and I would question Emilia Clarke's ability at the moment just to have a really good career after Game of Thrones. So I think she needs to keep milking sitting around in the lands of Game of Thrones before she finally hops on her dragons, because I don't know about her career after it, I'm sad to say.
It's very hard when you've played such an iconic character like she does, or like Daniel Radcliffe did in Harry Potter, or like Elijah Wood did in Lord of the Rings and things like that, to work out what to do with your career afterwards. And obviously people don't like to get typecast, and people don't want to get stuck in a rut, and also sometimes it's hard for the audience to accept them in other roles when they're so associated with this beloved character. So I think she's going to find it difficult. I actually think Daniel Radcliffe has done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I was about to say, I've been continually surprised by how good he's done outside of the Harry Potter franchise. Originally, I would have said, gee, he's going to struggle very, very hard to get out of this typecasting, but he's done a great job of doing things that are out of the ordinary. This year, you look at Swiss Army Man, and he's done a racially charged film I can't recall the name of, but it came out in America not long ago, and he's got some other things on the boil that still look really interesting and good. So he's probably one of the best examples, actually, isn't he, of actually getting away from what people expect from him and not doing just one genre of film. And yeah, it's not easy. You look at a lot of them, and many have failed. So Emilia Clarke's got a big job ahead of her, and like I said, she's made a mark in Game of Thrones, and she definitely has talent, but in a film like Me Before You, we don't get to see that at all. I almost felt embarrassed for her in a lot of ways. She felt miscast and just so over the top. It was not very, very fun to watch at all.
All right, well, the films were Me Before You and Warcraft. I think I'm going to have to go and watch Citizen Kane or something to, you know, wash the taste out of my mouth.
We might have to do a bit of a classic run, won't we, to get over all these films, but let's look to the next couple of weeks. I think there's some little gems coming out, like The Hunt for the Wilder People.
And that was a great film.
I'm sure we've got some really good ones for everyone to talk about soon. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
All right, Eddie Ivamy from jordanandeddie.wordpress.com. Check out the websites. Great stuff. Everything you need to know about films there. Eddie, thanks so much.